Here's a special message from Briggs & Riley to every last-minute luggage packer. To those who hate packing around those annoying grooves in the bottom of your suitcase. To the challengers who try to cram a myriad of toothpaste, hairbrushes, and travel-sized shampoo bottles into the outer pockets. Many luggage has tried, and many have failed to accommodate the whim of the overzealous overpacker. Now there is a true sophisticated challenger. Briggs & Riley's perfect packing solution offers several casual, sophisticated collections that reflect the way we live and travel today. Their iconic outsider handle provides optimal capacity and flat packing inside. And only Briggs & Riley luggage has CX compression expansion technology, which increases capacity in the same size suitcase. The premium extra-wide garment panels help create additional compression to prevent shifting and wrinkling, so you can add more in a smaller space. And to the luggage handler who's extra hard on your luggage, Briggs & Riley will repair your luggage free of charge. No proof of purchase necessary. Clothes waiters and careless carriers, your match has been met. Visit Briggs-Riley.com for Briggs & Riley luggage.
His name is Peter Baldwin, and he's the founder of Bird Dogs Shorts. You've probably seen him on Shark Tank, where Mark Cuban obliterated his pitch. Look, Mark, he'll admit it. The invention of the first ever stretch khaki shorts that feel amazing, look amazing, and can wear literally anywhere wasn't his best idea. But he's got more, like Dog Trader. Just like Auto Trader, but you can sell your old dog. Eh? Mark, I know you'd invest if you just gave him one more shot. So go to birddogs.com/radio and join the 2 million men who think Bird Dogs shorts are a great idea. Or DM Mark Cuban and tell him to give Peter one more shot.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Much love to everybody locked in and listening all over North America. My people on the road, my people at work, my people enjoying their Friday night, people on the highways, the byways, the hospitals, the restaurants, the bars. Shout outs to everybody in the back of a bar right now. Have a drink for me, or two. I'm going to be hanging out with you for one more hour. It's a four-hour show. I get started every single weeknight. That means Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Dave Shepard, he's holding it down in New York City. The night has been busy already. We're about to talk about the Tennessee Volunteers. Find $8 million. I will explain why. But before we got here, we talked about Shohei Ohtani and the trade deadline, and we looked at Juan Soto. I said the Angels are idiots. I think we all know that already. We talked about the Suns. The Phoenix Suns games are going to be broadcast on local television. No cable, none of this crap. If you live in Arizona and the Suns are in your local area, it's like a throwback. You can watch them over the air. That should be fun. Should be a lot of fun. Anyway, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We even heard Charles Barkley scream about LGBTQ rights. Hey, Shep, we're going to play it again this hour. You better believe it. Shep, not too enthusiastic about it.
I want to say this. If you're gay and transgender, I love you. Hey. And if anybody gives you, you tell them Charles said you.
Well, I wanted to hear it later, but we'll hear it again later again.
Oh, God. Figured as much as we played in the third hour, we're going to play a minimum twice this hour.
Yeah, so we'll play Charles Barkley again. Yeah. Yeah, screw you if, you want to bother other people. Yeah, screw you. Anyway. We'll get to that later on in the show. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. And we got a great caller on the line. His name is Robbie from Jacksonville. We'll get back to Robbie in a second. He had a call about Tennessee. If you're not familiar, the Volunteers were fined $8 million by the NCAA on Friday. Basically, more than 200 infractions when Jeremy Pruitt was the head coach. They weren't given one of these bans from the postseason. They were fined $8 million. And amongst these 200 infractions, we're talking about handing out money, giving players money, giving money to their families, getting people cars and vehicles. And it's just, If you ask me, it's business as usual when it comes down to the NCAA. And we got a lot of schools who do this already. So I don't think anybody should be shocked or anybody should be surprised. You know what? But take a listen to this. This is the news report from WBIR Channel 10 about what took place with Tennessee. Listen to this.
And breaking now at noon, the NCAA announced its penalties against the University of Tennessee. This comes after a years-long investigation into recruiting violations that focused on former Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt. Now, here are the big takeaways. There will be no postseason ban for the Vols after hundreds of violations in the program. The university, though, is facing at least an $8 million fine.
Yeah, you want to talk about some of these 200 violations? Hotel rooms, impermissible meals, entertainment, whatever you want to call that. Hey, let's go to Top Golf, I guess. I don't know. Maybe some other things. Hey, parking. People giving out clothes and gear. It's a player's mother, and she got money to pay her car note. I mean, this is just what a shock. It gave the lady gas. His wife, Pruitt's wife, gave the player's mother gas. Maybe she needed gas. I'm not mad at her. 855-212-4CBS. Robbie is he's back from Jacksonville. Hey, Robbie, you made an excellent point before the break with NIL. Why does any of this matter now, right?
Yeah, and then also I found also a couple days ago, right, the NCAA came out, with their rules on what NIL is going to be. And, states have different rules than what the NCAA is, trying to mandate now, right? And, I guess the NCAA is very well known to always lose in court. So why would these institutions even care or follow it? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the NCAA, I think, is now that everybody can make money, especially now that the athletes can make money, they have been minimized. Like, they don't care. The NCAA ain't squat diddly. They don't hold any power. We're seeing more power right now consolidated with these conferences, and sooner than later, I think we're going to have more conferences who kind of join together like Voltron and try to implement their own rules. The NCAA is crap. It's dying. It's dead. It's dead some more. And I think they've been grasping at straws. So to your point, why would anybody listen? They know they don't have influence. They know they don't have pull. People have been running around breaking rules forever. And now that they don't have sway, I don't think that they're really trying to influence anything. I feel like they're kind of drifting away. To go ahead and fine a team $8 million for something that took place more than 3 years ago, that's about all they can do. They can only go backwards and say, hey, we're going to punish you for this. But moving into the future, I think we're going to hear less and less about the NCAA doing any damn thing, man.
Yeah, I mean, JR, I think the NCAA is equivalent to that safety patrol guy who advises you not to jaywalk or wear your helmet while you're riding your bike, this point in time, right? So, and I'm not trying to throw any shade or any disrespect, but, on that kind of level, I feel like they think they have more power than they do. But, I appreciate you taking my call, man. Last thing about the NCAA, I mean, if they were to, let's just say hypothetically, Georgia or Alabama were to get suspended from football for an entire year,
crap.
I mean, don't tell me that schools would still not play them and schedule them. Just like you said, there's too much money in these TV deals with the conferences. And, that was it, man. That was my only point.
Well, thank you, Robbie. Appreciate you hanging in there.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You for calling from Jacksonville. Listen, man, we are in such a unique time in media. It don't matter what it is. You are 100% correct. There's so much power if you can control what you do and the distribution of it. NCAA ain't regulating nothing. Old news. Like, let's think about this. We're talking about a fine. We're talking about fines for meals and hotels and paying for cars and paying for gas, where now we are in a time where you can be a student athlete and you just make money like everybody else, as you should. And so the NCAA ain't nothing but a placeholder relic for something that's going to change and I feel will ultimately disappear. Think about how many super conferences and conference this, and we got schools on the West Coast that are in the Big Ten. It's just, it's wild. And this is really just the beginning. It's not going to slow down. It's not going to disappear. It's not going to go away. 855-212-4CBS. Elliot is calling from Pittsburgh. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Elliot?
JR, how are we doing tonight? Love your show. First time caller in. But, you know, just wanted to address a couple of the things you were talking about. saw your Twitter poll. Where do you think Otani is going to end up? I personally think it's going to be
Twitter poll. I did a Twitter poll.
I thought I saw it up there. I just
We did on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, okay. Well, CBS. Okay. Well, good on you, man. You know better than
I
do.
So go ahead. I think he's going to end up in San Francisco. Personally, they're going to use that judge money and lock him down. You know, with the WNBA All-Star Game skills competition. Man, I wish they would market that more, you know, like sports media personalities. I personally didn't see anything about it, but that's an incredible feat and good for Sabrina.
You want the WNBA to market more?
Maybe not them, but, I mean, the skills competition was going on tonight, and personally I didn't really hear about it. I'm pretty connected, plugged in with what's going on, but
yeah.
I don't know. Well, maybe I missed that one.
In a general sense, it's tough. I mean, the WNBA, since their inception, they have been, I don't want to say difficult, but it's not the easiest thing to go, you know, market. So let me put it to you this way. The WNBA had to be comfortable enough to market its players. We know society has changed enough over the past 20 years. There was a point in time where the WNBA was just like, oh, my God, we have to walk the line with our players and feminism and their own sexuality and their sexual preferences. And how do we sell this? They didn't know how to sell it. And I think they've finally moved into a space where the players are comfortable being who they are. And I think the league has embraced that. I think a good portion of society doesn't care. And I think they're starting to accept that. So I know you didn't hear about the skills competition tonight and today, but as the players and their profiles grow, I think we will. I mean, if we got to think about what's taken place just over the past, you know, 6 to 8 months from a college basketball side, think about some of the names in college basketball, women's college basketball, who you're going to start hearing and anticipating in the WNBA. And so I think women's basketball is in a good space, man. I think it is.
No, I agree, and I hope so. But, yeah, I mean, the reason I called in, it's kind of crazy with some of your earlier callers touching on it, but my Pittsburgh Pirates, man, I don't know how tapped in you are with their history, but it's been a journey. You know, do you think the future is
bright? You want to tell me about Bob, are we going to talk about Bob Nutting? Is that how far back are we going?
Man, I mean, so I just turned 31, so I was a part of that lost era. I was 5 months old when the Pirates were in the world or in the playoffs last. When your caller was talking about the you know, Sid Bream slide at the plate, so you know, I started young in 21 years of losing seasons under 500 baseball, and then you know our young core came together 2013, played in the first ever wild card game. That hands down, I've been to, you know, Stanley Cup playoffs, Steelers playoff games, nothing crazier than that. The 2013 NL wild card game, JR, hands down the best sporting event I've ever attended in my life.
Well, and I'll tell you this. I was in, I don't know if it was last season or two seasons ago. I happened to be in Pittsburgh. And it was the final game of the season. And I didn't go to the game because I wasn't going to the game to watch them lose. So I didn't do that. But I did walk by. Is it still PNC?
Yeah, it
absolutely
is. One of the few.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I walked by. This is the last game of the season. It was raining. It was damp. It was a little chilly. And I'm walking around. And I'm saying to myself, look at all of these fans. Look at all of these Pirate fans leaving the stadium. And I think they played the Rockies, maybe or not. And they lost because that's what they do. They're the Pirates. They lose. They lost. And I was just looking at all the fans filing out. And I'm saying, man, they have sucked for so long, and the fans still show up. And it's a gift and it's a curse because Mr. Nutting has taken advantage of the situation. But it's just bad.
It's so unfortunate because, you know, we have owners. The Steelers have the Rooneys. The Penguins, they had Mario Lemieux and Ron Burkle, and now it's the Fenway Sports Group with, you know, LeBron and those guys. We have, you know, owners who are accountable, and then you have Bob Nutting, who you can't hold a candle to. But it's just so sad. But, you know, I'm still a fan, and the future's bright. We just had the first overall pick, Paul Skeens. They're saying he's a generational talent. Hopefully he can do for us what he did with, like what Steven Strasburg did with the Nationals.
Yeah. You hope. I hope for you, Elliot. It sounds depressing, man, but good luck to you, okay?
Dude, thank you. I'm going to call in more often and listen. I'm going to let other people get to it, but, you know, have a great rest of your night, and I'm going to keep listening.
Thank you, boss. Call anytime. Shout out to my main man, Elliot, for calling from Pittsburgh. Shout outs to everybody listening in Pittsburgh. What's up, Paul Zeiss? My main man, Zeiss. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Sean is calling from Oregon. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, JR. I got to push back a little bit when I hear you say WNBA is in a good space, because as far as I know, that organization don't even make money. If it wasn't for the NBA, they wouldn't even be in business. This isn't like women's tennis. This isn't women's golf. You know, the WNBA should be showing a profit. They should somehow be in business and say they could do something and be able to support themselves.
So
have a great day, brother.
Oh, you don't have a response? You going to hang up? He's going to hang up because he's I can't say that on the radio. What he said is not all true, which is why he didn't want to have the conversation with me. To say that the WNBA is not in a good space because it's being financed by the NBA or they should turn a profit is not wholly true. The NBA, the WNBA, is in a growth process. The WNBA starts off, it has some of the best, and unfortunately, a lot of the women were older. If you want to start thinking about the Rebecca Lobos of the world or the Cheryl Swoops, they were established in Europe. They played in the Olympics. There was massive interest in the WNBA at its start. You can ask anybody in Houston, Texas, about the WNBA just blowing up, filling up the arenas, which is now a church, and blowing up. And then they hit a skid. It was difficult for them to maintain. They did what a lot of businesses did. They had to figure out who they are and how to sell. But when you think about women's basketball, not strictly and not just the finances, this is no different than having a conversation about Major League Baseball. You can tell me the reverse. You can tell me that Major League Baseball is in a beautiful place because it makes $10 billion a year and that their numbers, at their viewership numbers, their attendance is going up. A caller said it last night. When you go down and you go up incrementally, you can sell that to anybody. When I think about the WNBA, it's not just about its finances. I can think about women's tennis. Oh, it's been around and it's been structured for a very, very long time. To compare it to basketball, I don't find to be fair. When you look at where basketball is culturally, not just in the finances or not just in the books, when you think about the interest, when you think about the growth of it, basketball, women's basketball, is going in a positive direction. If you only want to look at the books, if you only want to look at today, and you want to say doom and gloom for the WNBA being in a bad spot, then you most certainly can. But that's ignoring where the game is going. That's ignoring the interest. That's ignoring the amazing, talented female basketball players that are here in the United States of America. Not the greatest or best of name. Ja Morant's sister is lighting it up in basketball. Gilbert Arenas, his daughter, is lighting it up in basketball. Zach Randolph's daughter, lighting it up in basketball. Kobe Bryant, before he passed away, was heavily invested, starting to invest in women's basketball. We found out news today, or Friday, that Dwayne Wade is personally investing cash and money into the Chicago Sky of the WNBA. And so if you want to only look at the books, and you only want to look at the history, and your only reason and way of, I'm going to push back of the WNBA being in a good spot, and your only rationale is, well, they don't make money? Man, what do you know about making money? Why is Dwayne Wade doing it? For vanity? Okay, why was Kobe Bryant so interested in it? You know more than Kobe? The WNBA is in a good spot. Is it going to make $1 billion in a couple of years, a couple of seasons? No. No, it won't. Is it going to take time for them to make money? Yes. Yes, it will. But I think the WNBA is finally and has finally started to embrace its talent. And instead of being a negative fill in the blank about, oh, they're in a terrible spot, they're not good, I have to provide pushback, you got to look at the big picture. The popularity of the game, the interest in the game is going up. And that counts for something. And you want to know something else? Despite the money in the books and who's paying for it and what it generates, the NBA ain't going to close no door on them. The WNBA ain't going out of business. Sometimes, man, you got to look at the big picture. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Oh, man, that was short-sighted, man. That's what that was. Sean from Oregon, what you just said was short-sighted. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to get some more of your calls on the other side of the break. If you are on, I will get you on the air, and then I'll actually share with you a quote from Dwayne Wade as to why he's investing into the WNBA Chicago Sky. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
First off, I want to give you some love. I think that you have a really common sense program that doesn't go over the top. I appreciate it.
Hey, good evening, JR. I love your show. I love your style and your manners.
Hey, man, what's going on? Love listening to your insight all the time.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. WNBA All-Star Game taking place on Saturday night. Sabrina Ionescu decided to make a record 37 threes in a three-point contest on Friday afternoon, which happens to be a record. It doesn't matter if it's the NBA or the WNBA. Their previous or prior record was 31. Steph Curry and Halliburton had that. And she just, at one point, she knocked down 20 straight threes. Completely unconscious, which is a nutty thing to do. And I made the point that the WNBA, I think one caller asked about the marketing of it, and I said the WNBA had to find itself as a business. Is it a sustainable business? Is it standing on its own? Is it making money? Are the players flying and whining and dining and all this? No, they're not. Not at all. But it's in a good position. It's in a position of growth. If you look at some of the individuals who will ultimately be in the WNBA, come on, more people have found out about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese in the last 6 to 8 months, and there's going to be some anticipation. You have a lot of professional basketball players who have daughters who are balling out of their minds, who have sisters. Ja Morant's sister is playing basketball at the high school level. Her highlights all over the place. Gilbert Arenas. So the game is growing without a shadow of a doubt. And so the WNBA, despite its current financial position and where it's been, I think it's going in a good place. I told you Dwayne Wade, we learned today that he's joining the Chicago Sky ownership group. And this is from Dwayne Wade. It's an incredible feeling being on this side of history, to see growth on the business side for something that I've been passionate about my whole life is an amazing feeling. There are amazing things happening in the WNBA. It's official. This is for the home team, literally. He's referring to Chicago, where he's from. Now, I'm not going to sit here and paint an overly optimistic picture that ignores their current financial state. But when you look at the big picture and the growth potential of the business, it is good. Otherwise, the NBA would just close the door. But that would be bad for business because this thing called the WNBA, it has potential. And if you can remember back 25 to 30 years ago, man, it was bumping and jumping. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Seattle, Washington, and talk to Rick. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Yeah, what's up, JR? I just want to thank you for bringing up the WNBA. I mean, I'm in a situation where, the Seattle Storm is big in Seattle, or at least there's a decent fan base. They're not playing so hot this season, but, they've won a lot of championships. Sue Bird is well-known. I find it entertaining. I think a lot of guys should not knock it and look into it. And not only is it entertaining, but, when the NBA season's over, now I happen to enjoy periodically gambling on games, and I find there's somewhat of a thrill in betting on these WNBA games. So, I don't know. It seems like there's a lot there as far as something that's part of the sports world. So that's what I wanted to say.
Sure. No, absolutely. Rick, it has a place, and thank you for calling from Seattle. I'm not expecting everybody to wake up and go, oh, my God, I'm the biggest WNBA fan. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I sit down and am deeply embedded into everything WNBA. But I'm not going to ignore the facts about its growth. I'm not going to ignore the fact that the minute that Caitlin Clark puts on a WNBA uniform, that I'm not going to watch and go, oh, my God, is she going to be busting ass and grabbing triple-doubles the same way she did in college? I'm not going to ignore the fact that you have someone like Angel Reese, who was one of the highlight athletes, one of the most highlighted athletes this past week at the ESPY Awards. You don't think she's going to play her first game and I'm going to, out of curiosity, go, what is she going to do? And then there are even more players. Interest is the first step, man, and they got interest. I'll be interested to see where to continue to go. Mark is calling from California. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Mark?
Good evening, Mr. Jackson. How you doing out there?
Yeah, Jackson, if you're nasty. What's up, Mark?
Hey, just to tag on to that, Tara Van Vandera, Stanford University's women's basketball coach, cold heart killer.
Okay.
What is that? 1,186 wins, 265 losses. The WNBA, I remember that when that came back in the mix in the mid to like 96, 97.
Yeah, following the Olympics, yes.
right. And it was after the NBA Finals. What was it, JR?
What do you mean?
We next.
What are you talking about?
We next, right?
Oh, you're talking about the tagline. Yes, yes.
Yeah, we next. More power to the women. I mean, we need that in our society, and it's women like the accomplished Tara Vandera coach and like these other gals that are making noise and what have you. It's inevitable. But what I really want to get your opinion, and first and foremost, JR, apologies.
You okay? You got, what's in your throat? You all right?
I got a frog in my throat. I'm sorry.
Okay, hold on. We don't want to hear it on the radio. Hold on a second. Hey, Shep, what advice do you have for this guy? He has a frog in his throat. What advice do you have for him?
I'm going to drink water as soon as humanly possible, Mark, and just take some breaths, man.
Yeah, just breathe and drink water. The frogs like water, though. They want water, too. No. Let's see. Hey, Mark, you alive? You okay?
So I'm good. We're good to go, man.
Okay,
get it out quick.
I got to get to the news. Go ahead.
So here's the deal. Where's the integrity of what you were talking earlier about the college system? Is
there's
Chef and JR, I'm nervous that the Saudis and that same fund that took over the PGA, the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund. You tell me, JR, you're pretty cut in, Chef. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think you have to worry about that right now.
Stand by one, sir. You heard Jay Mahanahan.
Who?
Tell his son.
The commissioner. Yeah, I know. That's on the golf side, Mark. But what I'm saying to you, and he should be back to work, I think, on Monday, by the way, I would not worry about that from the college system right now.
Where is college athletics, football, basketball? We're already seeing the draining.
In the conferences. I don't think Saudi Arabia. Mark, listen to me. I wouldn't worry about it right now, this moment. I think if you want to worry about anything, moving or changing college sports, it would be the conferences, not Saudi Arabia.
But who is controlling the...
Who's controlling the conferences? The conferences are controlled by a commissioner and sponsors and other boosters. Not Saudi Arabia. Not yet. I feel like I'm in a conspiracy movie, okay? Not yet. Is this Area 50... Shep, is this Area 51?
It is not.
Not yet, okay. Saudi Arabia might as well just buy everything. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. I can't wait to see Notre Dame brought to you by the Saudi Investment Fund. We'll have the Saudi Investment League. They'll just replace. Hey, maybe Notre Dame will join that conference. Maybe it'll be a new one. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a huge fan. I listen to you every night on the way home from work.
JR, you are a great sports psychologist.
Thank you very much, my brother, from another mother, and I like you.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, yeah, Enter Sandman. It's time to close this sucker out. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We got a bunch of callers here on the line. Get to your calls. Talk to you. Dave Smith is coming through at the top of the hour to take you the rest of the way. Let's not waste time. Let's go to Boston and talk to Paul. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, J.I. It's Rhode Island. It's good. Okay. We're small, but we gave you a country. Listen,
us the country because you didn't want to pay taxes and tea. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
one of the states will give you our country, I should say. I take that back.
Okay. Well, all of America thanks the history of Boston. Thank you. Yes.
Rhode Island. Yes.
Sure.
Listen, I'm going to start with this. San Francisco is the way to go for Ohtani. Dodgers are fitted suit team. The only thing I can think of, because Oakland is moving to L.A., what a way to spark the new team in L.A. I'm sorry, in Vegas. What I would love,
LeBron. Wait. Are you saying that Ohtani is going to go to the Oakland A's because they're going to Vegas?
With a little bit of psychic powers, I don't know, man.
I think that
would be a turnaround.
Oakland Athletics have the same owner. It's going to take them years to hopefully boost up their farm system.
You are correct.
I don't see any way, shape, or form of Ohtani just joining a team with a bunch of no-name guys making money, and I'm not even so sure that Fisher would cough up the cash ball.
I understand.
It's okay.
That's one thing.
Okay.
Well, I would love for him to be the 11th Japanese player to come to Boston because of LeBron and John Henry. But San Francisco, he wants to be close to his homeland. I think San Francisco is it. The other two teams are too fitted.
Okay.
That's my opinion, brother.
I think that's the point. I think it's fitted for him to go out there and win. Why would Ohtani say, hey, I want to play for Oakland? Why? Because they're going to move to the desert? I don't see that. Mike is calling from D.C. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Mike?
Go Orioles. They won again earlier tonight. JR, thanks for taking my call.
No problem, Mike. Thank you. Mike is calling from Pittsburgh. Another one. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, JR? How are you doing tonight?
I'm amazing. What's up?
None. I heard you talking to a previous caller about the Pirates and his favorite player. So I'm 25, so I grew up in the thousands. My favorite player for the Pirates was Jason Bay. I felt like Jason Bay had a phenomenal career with them. But my question was, with their current team, if they re-sign McCutchen, re-sign Santana, now they have Paul Skeens as a pitcher, re-sign Jack Sawinski, they have a solid team, what do you think they could do this year / next year in the MLB?
Bro, you're asking me about the Pirates in their future? You're asking about a dude that they just drafted out of LSU? When they draft him on Sunday?
He's a stud, though.
I don't have no answer, man. Hey, I've seen – you know, how old are you?
25.
Do you know how many pitchers have come through Major League Baseball that were studs? Let me unfortunately share something with you. Pitchers' arms fall off. At some point in time, their arms don't work, okay? And yeah. I can walk you down a long list of guys that were studs and surefire Hall of Famers that were supposed to work and their arms no longer worked, okay? Here's a name, just Kerry Wood. And so for me to tell you what I think about the Pirates next year is a complete waste of time.
So what do you think about them this year, though? You think they'll make playoffs?
No, I don't think so. Listen, I don't think about who makes the playoffs. I think about who contends for the World Series, and the Pirates aren't there.
That's true.
I'm sorry, Mike. Good luck into the future.
I feel like
I was the bearer of bad news there. You think they're going to make the playoffs? Man, it's all these teams. I'm not thinking about the teams that might make the playoffs. I'm thinking about who's competing for a championship. I sit here and talk about sports for a living. I'm not watching every team, especially the ones that aren't good or medium. Come on now. Brandon is calling from Albuquerque. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Brandon?
JR, thanks for taking my call, man. First time caller. I want to say nothing wrong with the WNBA. They sold out again in Canada. First game they sold out May 15th.
Well, that's nice. I just want to let that guy know
women are allowed to vote now.
Oh, I heard about that. Well, who played up in Canada?
The WNBA. I don't know because 162.
You playing?
I'm door dashing right now, man.
Oh, okay. What did you deliver?
I'm picking up at McDonald's for somebody.
Oh man. Oh, you in Albuquerque? Yeah, I was gonna say, can you bring me something? But you in Albuquerque? How long would it take you to drive to Atlanta?
Yeah, man, I'll be there probably after the weekend, man. I take a lot of naps.
Oh, tomorrow? Is it possible for you to get? No, I'd be not tomorrow. It was Sunday you get here. All right, Brandon. Well, listen, man, make all your money, okay?
Hey, one more quick thing.
Yes.
If you don't eat fries, a frog won't go down your throat. All right, you have a good one.
Shep, did you get that?
No.
If you don't eat a frog, the frog won't go down your throat. Okay. That was for the caller. He had a frog in his throat. Hey, Tom, you're going to get the last word for tonight. Calling from Springfield, Illinois. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Jay. Thanks a lot, man. Sure. I have two questions for you. I was wondering, how many actual girls' basketball teams are in college across this country?
Oh, my God. I don't know, man.
Okay, okay. But that's what I'm getting at. Now, this is the question. Yeah. Why are there only 12 NBA basketball teams for girls when you've got
women.
A prospect of that many girls across the country playing basketball?
Well, because it's a business. That's why. It's a business. And as Sean from Oregon wanted to point out, it hasn't been a money-making business. And so we've had teams that have had to shuffle around. We've had teams that have had to shut down. And we're looking at a league that is on the up and up. And so when you're not making money, the last thing you want to do is spread out the money that's already non-existent. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I believe so.
The WNBA actually has an issue and a problem because of their finances by not having enough teams to just basically add a lot of the players. You have high draft picks coming out of college, going into the WNBA, who aren't necessarily even guaranteed to make a roster. Or they are selected, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7, and they're not in the WNBA 2 years from now because there simply aren't enough spots. And so the larger reason isn't so much about the talent pool, it's about the business. And so hopefully over the next several years, and when I say several years, I'm talking 5 to 10 to 15, that they can get to a healthy spot where they have enough teams, they have enough roster spots, and they can actually grow in cities. But I think they need to continue to work on where they're at right now. And that's why I say the future is bright.
Yeah. No, I believe that. I was going to say, I do believe in the WNBA. They're just like football. When football first started, there was only a handful of teams. Yeah, now we've got all these great NFL teams today.
Well,
so I'm sure the WNBA is going to grow. It is. It's just going to reach the people. And I was thinking Boston and other places.
If it should only be that lucky. Tom, thank you for calling from Springfield.
Yeah. Thanks,
no doubt about it. No problem. Hey, Shep, let's hear Charles Barkley one more time.
I want to say this. If you're gay and transgender, I love you. Hey, and if anybody gives you you tell them Charles said.
Yeah, that's what Charles Barkley said. Me? I love you too. I love everybody. I love you, Shep.
I love you too, JR.
It took a minute for Shep to think.
And
about
I love that you're going to be hosting like 5 hours from now.
Yeah, I'll be in New York City at 1 p.m. You can listen to me on WFAN on the free Odyssey app if you're not in New York. Thank you, Shep. The JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. It's a wrap. I'll be back Monday night. Don't move. Here on CBS Sports Radio, Dave Smith. He comes up next. Thank you, Shep.
You realize we spend a third of our life sleeping? I know, stuck in traffic was a good guess too, but now that you know you sleep so much, why aren't you sleeping on the most comfortable mattress arguably made in America? A brand new iComfort Eco by Serta. It's supportive and designed to keep you cool, comfortable, and feeling restored. Or check out Serta's Perfect Sleeper for pressure-relieving comfort and support while maintaining a balanced temperature. Serta mattresses made right here in Michigan, and they have been for over 110 years. Go to Serta.com. Find a retailer near you. That's Serta.com.
9 out of 10 women feel pressured to conform to unspoken hair rules.
To fit in the picture, you have to change your hair.
Your curls are only acceptable if they're perfect.
I don't see anything that tells you to embrace your gray.
People show up with different hair. We should celebrate that.
Let's embrace the beauty of all hair. New Dove Love Your Hair Collection is gentle and sulfate-free with customized skincare ingredients. To love your silver, love your waves, love your curls. Love the hair that makes you, you.
And I think that's beautiful.
New Dove Love Your Hair.
Why would you break into these apartments?
For money, for drugs, whatever was in there.
Weren't you ever afraid of getting caught at doing this?
No. Who's going to catch us? We're the police.
It was the early 1990s, the height of the crack era, and instead of locking up drug dealers, some New York City cops had become them.
I would suit up in my uniform and we're going to rob some drug dealers. And I know how to do it really well.
This is the inside story of the biggest police corruption scandal in NYPD history and the investigation that uncovered it all.
Did you consider yourself a rat?
100%. I saved my soul just like everybody else does.
Listen to and follow The Set, an Odyssey Originals documentary podcast series, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your shows.
I'm not a bad guy, man, but I loved being that dirty motherfucker.